Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 400, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Happy is the man that chooses Israel's God to be his aid. He is blessed whose hope of blessing on the Lord his God is stayed. 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 400.
Congregation, we wish to speak out of God's holy and precious word out of the first book, the book of Genesis, thereof chapter 45. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, a lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, in the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well, and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto thy brethren, This do ye, lade your beasts, and go, get you unto the land of Canaan. And take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, This do ye. Take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, See that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt, and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. And he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, It is enough. Joseph my son is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, when in this week we may gather together in this day, round about thy holy word in thy house, for special services wherein that we may acknowledge that thou art God, and that we may acknowledge that thou art our Creator, who hast made us and all things in this world, but that thou art also our provider, and that thou art the sustainer of this whole universe, and that we are in dependence upon thee every moment of our life. For in thee, thy servant did say, we live and we move and we have our being, so that without thee we cannot so much as move, or that we may receive a living impression thereof, that we would dare not to take a step in our life without thee, and that it may make us ashamed how that we go so easily over this world, leaving thee in thy place to thy grief. Oh, that thou may grant unto us hearts that may receive a living faith in the truth of thy existence, and that we may be given also to bow before thee, that we might know who and what we are, what we have done with all thy creation, what we have done with all thy gifts and the talents that thou hast given unto us, when thou couldest so easily have turned thy face against us, but thou dost spare us even unto this very moment. And now soon the farmers will go out into the fields in our land, and the ground that will be plowed up and the seed that will be sown. And then it is so necessary that they do receive a blessing from above. For they can plant and they can water, but God alone can give the increase. O Lord, we beseech thee that thou wouldst not deal with us according to our many sins. For we have left thee days without number, and we can so easily leave thee in thy place and go forth over this world about our business, depending upon the labors of our own hands. But thou art able to open our eyes and to show unto us that thou alone dost reign in this world. Oh, that thou wouldst give us then saving impressions in our hearts, that we may believe in the true and in the living God, in thy existence, in thy provision, and that we may also be given to be ashamed of our sin and our iniquity, or that we may turn therefrom to serve thee with all our heart and all our might and all our strength, that we would not only desire the blessings, but that we may desire also to be near unto thee. Oh, that we may receive also thy favor, that it may not be to be fattened for the slaughter, that we are given blessings in this life, but that it may be that all the blessings and all the callings and all the judgments may lead us unto thy blessed footstool, there to confess what we are in thy most holy sight, and to ask of thee that thou wouldst forgive. O thou dost say, take with you words, O Lord, that we may receive then a confession from thee, and that is unto thee, and that we may say, Lord, I have sinned against thee. O Lord, that I am sin from the crown of my head to the sole of my foot, and I am not worthy that thou shouldest look upon me. O that thou may give it unto each and every one, young and old, and that we may come in the way of true humility, and that we may receive from thee that grace and that mercy which thou dost proffer in thy holy word. O that thou may look upon us then in the season that lies before us, and that thou may give rain from the skies, that thou may give sunshine, that thou may give the health and the strength unto those that do raise the food in the midst of this world, both far and near, and that thou may bless the labors of their hands, and the hands of each and every one of us also in all the labors that we may do, whatever that they may be in this world, or that thou may yet prosper us. For it belongeth unto thee to give prosperity and also to give adversity. And wilt thou look upon us then in thy mercy and in thy favor? Oh, give us a place to bow before thee, that thou wouldest not have to bring us into judgment in order that we might bow our knees. But thy servant did say, knowest thou not that the goodness of the Lord leadeth thee unto repentance? Oh, then that thy goodness may shine before our eyes, and that it may make our hearts to break and our hearts to melt before thee, and that we may become upright in thy most holy sight. And wilt thou watch over us also in all the concerns that are round about us in the world in these days? For men's hearts do fail them for the looking after the things that are coming in the earth, the disease especially that does spread itself throughout this whole world. O Lord, thou who art the great physician, and thou who art able to stem the tide, O that thou may look upon us in thy mercy, and that thou wouldst not deal with us as our sins deserve, but wilt thou remember us as nations and as peoples. Oh, that we may be given to bow before thee, the true and the living God, that the pestilences that are in the earth, wherewith man hath nothing to fight against, oh, that it may make us to see and to feel and to turn again unto him who has created us. Oh, that thou may bring it, Lord, unto a good end, and that thou may watch over and protect us in all of these circumstances, that thou may supply for those that are afflicted and sick, those that are weak. And Lord, thou knowest all those that mourn in this world wherein this pestilence does go forth, so that many are now cast into mourning. Oh, that thou may remember them also, and wilt thou teach us all as nations and as peoples from above, that thou may remember us as a congregation, Lord, that thou may bring us also in a special way upon our knees before thee, because the world that knows thee not, but we are instructed from the days of our youth, and we have a form of religion. But, oh, do teach us to pray, that we may receive the things that we cannot miss upon our journey, and that we may also see the necessity that we are prepared to die and to meet thee, both young and old, for so quickly death can climb up into our windows. Oh, that we may be given to feel the seriousness of our life, the shortness of our life, the seriousness of our life, that there is a coming eternity. Oh, that thou may bind thy word then upon our hearts also in this evening hour, that we may be given to know ourselves, and that we may be given to know thee and thy dear and only begotten Son, whom thou hast sent into this world, that he may seek and save that which is lost. Oh, that thou may remember all our denomination, all those needs and the cares that are therein, in the season that lies before us. Oh, then there are so many needs to lay before thee, thy servants, and all that they stand in need of. Oh, give them strength, give them courage, give them wisdom, and give them much of the Spirit of the Lord, and that that may go in and out amongst our peoples, as thou hast done heretofore, that many may be born in Zion, and that thy name may be glorified even as it was in the days of old, and that thy kingdom may come, O Lord, also in the season that lies before us, and when the seed of thy word that will go forth once again, oh, that thou wouldst plow then up the fallow ground of our hearts, and that thou may give a good place for that seed to fall, to take root downward, and to bring forth fruit upward unto thee. Oh, we beseech thee for our children, for our school, and all the needs and the cares that do lie upon us. Oh, that thou wouldst supply, who alone are able to do it, to lay it upon the hearts of men, that they may go forth in those labors that are so necessary for the sake of our upgrowing youth, and that thou may thyself grant a blessing in the midst of our own schools and in the homes of our people. Lord, that thou may remember the sick and the afflicted, thou knowest those that have become old, and then it becomes springtime in the earth, and yet thou knowest that for them, and then it can be sometimes so discouraging, that they are so downhearted, because then they understand from the days of their youth what is so necessary, but they do not have what they cannot give themselves what they stand in need of. Oh, we beseech thee, O Lord, that thou may remember those that are old. Oh, give them a blessed hope, and that will make the last days into the best days of their life. Oh, that it may yet be told in the coming season, come, all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what he has done unto my soul. Do it, Lord, for thy name's sake, for the spreading of thy word and of thy great name, and do it for the conversion of sinners. And wilt thou remember us all together? Be with us in this evening. We are round about thy word of truth. Lord, thou knowest we can give nothing to ourselves, and we can give nothing to one another. O thou great benefactor of the whole world, but especially of thy church, we beseech thee for a little crumb in this evening hour, when we have come round about thy word of truth, and that there may be a little eating, that there may be a little drinking, and that there may be a little nourishment for thy dear children. Thou knowest where that they are, and they are the afflicted ones. They are the poor ones, they are the needy ones, and they are those who cannot do without thee. Oh, give more such in our midst. Make us each and every one so for the first or by renewal, and do bless us undeservedly with heavenly blessings of thy favor and thy communion. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 431, stanzas 2, 4, 5, and 6. This our festal day, Jacob's God has given solemn joy display throughout all the land. This is the command of the God of heaven. There is one collection today for the Calvin Christian School, 431, 2, 4, 5, and 6. beloved congregation. It is a great blessing that our parents, they have taught us to fold our hands and to close our eyes and to pray. David, he says, the wicked in the pride of his countenance will not call upon God. God, he says, is not in all his thoughts. And yet we know that there is a great difference in prayer, because we all understand that we have much form and we have much custom in prayer. And this is good, but it is not enough. Then how little felt need is there in our prayers that come up before the Lord? Where does felt need come from? We read in Psalm 107 that he brought down their hearts with labor. Who brought down their hearts with labor? That was the Lord himself. That he brought that people into a felt need. Why? That they may cry unto him. The Lord is a prayer hearing God. The Lord is a prayer answering God. Do you believe that, young people? That the Lord hears and answers prayer? We hope that you may experience that in your young life, that the Lord hears and answers prayer, and that the Lord is alive. Do you pray? But we can read in the Bible that the Lord is also a prayer-giving God, because if he does not give it, then we do not pray. But the Lord, he has given and does give prayer unto his church. And something of this we wish to consider with you in this evening hour out of the words of our text. Genesis 45, verse 11, the first part. And there will I nourish thee. So far the words of our text. A precious promise of nourishment. First, to whom this is promised. And second, by whom this is promised. A precious promise of nourishment. First, to whom, and the second, by whom this is promised. What is more necessary than nourishment, food and drink? We ask for more. Prayer day, every day, every Sabbath day, then we ask also for other blessings. The blessings upon the labors of our hands, the blessings of prosperity, the blessing upon church and school and denomination and families and so on and so forth. But now food and drink. Food and drink that is the most essential, that is standing as the foundation blessing, the most important that we are standing in need of, because that is that upon which our very life is upheld and is sustained. So if we do not have sufficient food and drink, and then our body that is languishing, then our body is subject to all kinds of disease. And if we have not sufficient food and drink, then there is also no desire and no ability that we may think and that we may do other things in this world. So that food and drink, that nourishment, that is now lying at the foundation of all the needs of mankind in this world. And for that reason, there is much care about food and drink. So it is beginning a long time already, children, beforehand. And we can see that all in the fields about us soon, the Lord willing. And then we see that the farmers are going out into the fields. Then there is a plowing up. Well, they do not that so much we understand anymore today. But a sowing of the seed and a fertilizing and a weeding and so on, a harvesting of the fields and a preserving of that food. So long, long time beforehand that everything is being prepared and that food may be given unto men in this world. But now the Lord's care, how far back does that go? Well, that care goes back so much further than our care is going. That is going all the way back to the very creation itself. And that is extending in every aspect of the providence of the Lord. That he is caring in a special way. And then we can read that he is even with Noah making a covenant that is with the earth, that seed time and that harvest that shall not cease while that this world is going. So the Lord, he is beginning a long time already beforehand and directing everything to his own ends. We see that here with Joseph. Then Joseph, he was sent into the land of Egypt by the Lord, a long, long time before that famine ever came. And the Lord knew in his providence what he would do, and he has prepared long beforehand that he may, as Joseph himself, we heard that, he said that the Lord, he may preserve life. Oh, let our hearts then not be so dependent upon the work of our own hands, because without him, we can do nothing. And without him, all the labors, the short-sighted labors, no matter how far in advance we think we have begun, and they are in the Lord's sight all short-sighted, and everything that is now lying in the all-caring hand of the provider of this whole universe. And there will I nourish thee. Oh, that is now what we need. We need that the Lord may provide, that he may give food, that he may give drink, and that he may give that food and drink also may nourish our bodies, and that it may make us strong. But is that now all we need? Because Paul, he says that if in this life only ye have hope in Christ, ye are of all men most miserable. That is, if we are receiving the blessings of the Lord in this life only, well, then we are of all men most miserable. Those that have heard the word of redemption and receive for themselves only the food and drink of this world, then they will be more miserable, the most miserable, the apostle says, of all the men in this world, because then we are nothing but fattened for the slaughter. Then we are like the beasts in all of the earth. We have heard that Joseph, he was a type. He was a type in his sufferings. He was a type of the Lord Jesus in his humiliation. He was a type of the Lord Jesus also in his exaltation. He was a type of the Lord Jesus in his government, that he is set as a governor under Pharaoh over all the people of the land. Is Christ then a provider of our natural food? Well, that is not such an easy question. because there are people that say Christ died for everyone. And in order to say Christ died for everyone, some will say, well, at least he died in a certain way for everyone, because it was because of the death of Christ that everyone is receiving food and drink in this world. Is that so? That is not so. The food and the drink that is in this world, that is belonging to the world, that is not flowing out of the sufferings of Christ. The food and drink that is flowing out of the sufferings of Christ, that is the natural food and drink, is natural food and drink for his for his children alone. Thus, it is not possible to say that Christ has died for everyone. No, not even in the sense that he has provided food and drink for this whole world. The death of Christ, that is alone for his own people. And yet, that food and drink, that natural food and drink, that is for the church, also flowing out of that redemption, because he cares for them both for their soul and also for their body. And yet now he is the provider in the most important way, not of the natural food of that church, but of their spiritual food. Because they are indeed alive in this world in a natural way, but he has given them also life in a spiritual way. And it is now that spiritual life that, just as the natural life is not able to do without eating and without drinking, lest that life also should die. And there will I nourish thee. Who says that? Joseph. To whom? He says that to his brethren. Actually, it is a message through his brethren to his father. But when he speaks to his father, then he says, also your children and your grandchildren. Thus, it is a message in an indirect way also to these brothers. But all of them together, they are in a very special condition. And what is that condition? Well, we have heard it. They are hungry. They are hungry. There is a famine. So that there is so very little food to be found, and the food that they may have, that is very quickly deplenishing. Now, it is in this way, it is in this condition, that these brethren, they are coming down into that land of Egypt. Because they have heard, we have heard, that there is corn in Egypt. And so they are coming to Egypt to seek food. They are coming to Egypt that they may sustain their life. Or are there those? We all do. Children, we don't think so much about it, because mother and father takes care of that. In your house, the mother goes to the grocery store, and she will buy food, and we think not so much about it, because there is so much food available. But when there would be a famine in the land, when there would be so very little food to be had, oh, then so much of our thought, so much would be going out toward what shall we eat and what shall we drink? Why? Oh, that we do not die. That our life may be preserved, that it may be sustained. So those brothers, they are going down into the land of Egypt. They are seeking food because their life, the life of themselves, of their father, of their little ones, that is all now at stake. Or do you think children? Do you think they have heard about Joseph? Or maybe. Maybe they have heard about that viceroy. He is second in command unto Pharaoh, that Zaphnath-Paneah, the one who has provided food for all of the Egyptians. Maybe they have heard of him. The one thing they do not know, they do not know that he is their brother. They do not know that he is their bone, that he is their flesh. Then it is possible that a hungry soul, he has heard that there is a Savior, or that he comes up to the house of the Lord, or that he is seeking for that food that he has heard that is existing for the true church of God. And hungry and thirsty, he enters into the house of God. Oh, he has heard maybe of that name, that great Zaphnath-Paneah. He has heard of that greater Joseph. But, oh, he does not know that he is his bone and his flesh. He does not know that he is his brother. He has never been revealed unto his soul. Thus it is possible. It is possible to have heard of him by the hearing of the ear, as Job says, but never yet to have seen him. That he has never been revealed to your soul. Or are there people that to say, O Lord, I have heard of thee. Oh, I have heard also how that thou dost show thyself unto thy own dear children, how thou dost make thyself precious unto thy people, or that thou may also open my eyes, that I may see thee, and there will I nourish thee. We say it is a precious promise of nourishment. To whom? It is. To the needy, that is always the way it is, isn't it, in the Word of God? Do you ever find that the Lord Jesus gives something to those that are not needy? No, he says that I am not come to call the righteous, but I am come to call the sinners unto repentance. And so he has helped the poor and the lame and the blind and the deaf and the dumb and the dead. And the rest, the rich, they are sent empty away. To whom is this promise? This promise is made unto a hungry people, unto a thirsty people. Do you belong among them? If I would say to you boys and girls, if I would say every day now, you are going to get a piece of bread from the bakery. What would you say? Say, well, really, I have enough already. But do you know that Jeremiah was promised in the Word of God by the king Zedekiah. He was promised a piece of bread from the baker's house. Every day he would get a piece of bread. Do you know how precious that was to him? Why? Because that bread, that was not so easily gotten in that time. No, there were enemies. And when the enemies, they would come around the city and they would have all their army around the city. Then there was no going in and no coming out. And there was famine in the land. And then he was promised a piece of bread every day until all the bread in the city was spent. What do you think? Was that a precious promise to him? Say yes. Why? Why precious to him and not to you? Well, you say, I don't need it. That is right. What makes a promise precious? Oh, that is the need. That is the need. That is the felt need. then that promise becomes something to us that it was not unto us before. Thus, here it is with these brothers. They cannot provide for themselves. And they can plow up the ground. And they can sow their seed. But they are not able. There is a famine in the land. There was probably no rain that was going to make that seed to grow. And therefore, a promise concerning nourishment and the sustaining of the life that was so very, very precious unto these brothers of Joseph. Now, how is that with the Lord's people? God's people are made alive. Oh, they need to eat, they need to drink. Do you think they can provide that food for themselves? Ask them. Oh, they have not the power to give themselves one crumb. They can read God's word from the beginning all the way to the end. And it is nothing for them but as it were a dead letter until the Lord comes. Until he gives them to eat one crumb out of that word of God. And so such a promise. Oh, if they may read that in the word of God, and they feel something of that famine. And then the Lord says unto them, and there I will nourish thee. Oh, then their heart, that breaks. When there is no food in that spiritual life, then that spiritual life flounders. Then that spiritual life that becomes sickly. What happens to their love? That love waxes cold. Or what happens to that zeal? That zeal diminishes. Then there was desire, but that desire fails. Then there is a lack of that spiritual energy, as it were. Then they are lying, as it were, upon a sick bed of sloth. Or in their feeling. Or then they say it is all death. It is all dry. Then they feel that it is barren within. That there is no fruit. There is nothing that is going out unto the glory of God in their life. There is so much world. There is so much carnality that is living in my heart. Oh, then they feel, as Paul he did say, that in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Sometimes to their own feelings, and then they think that they have become indifferent. They have become completely indifferent to the things that are concerning the Lord. Oh, sometimes, maybe we should not say it all, but sometimes even the word of God, oh, that does not draw them. They can easier read the newspaper. Then they can begin to search in that word of God. How is it then with that people? Is that really then all dead? Well, ask them how it is. Then there is actually a mourning. There is a mourning inside their heart. Oh, they are not happy. They are not glad with famine. They are not glad with a backslidden condition. They sleep, the Bible says, but their heart waketh. They sleep day by day, but then all that day long, there is a waking. And there is a waking. Why? The Lord, he is knocking. He is knocking. And they hear that knocking, but they stay sleeping. Oh, that soul has no rest. That soul that has no peace, they look back in their life, at that former life, in the desires of their heart, they came up to the house of the Lord with the voice of joy and praise in the midst of the multitude. Oh, they go today. They say, my heart, that is as as dry, that is as hard as a stone. I think it is all gone. It is all gone. Oh, how they miss that tender heart. Oh, how they miss that love of the Lord that they can tell you in their youth, maybe. Young people, it is often in the youth that the Lord, He is beginning with these things. And then that melting of the heart, then they have to say, oh, how long now ago since my heart that was melted into pieces. And they feel that barrenness, and then they fear, they fear, they fear. They fear what? They fear that it is not true. They thought there was life. They thought they felt hunger. They thought they felt thirst. But they say it is gone. It must have been natural. It must have been, well, just character. They fear. They fear in the famine. They fear what? They fear that finally, after all that they thought, they are going to perish. Behold, I have heard there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither, and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. So Jacob admonishes his 10 sons. So they arise, and they go. How does it get? It only gets worse. It only gets worse when they go down into Egypt. Why? Because there, when they are seeking that food in Egypt, where they heard that that food was, when they have heard of that Zaphnath Paneah, then there in that place, their guilt that is dug up from its grave, where they have tried to bury it, and the Lord, He is reviving that guilt when? Just in the time of their hunger. Just in the time of their great need. And now that guilt that is contributing greatly to their fears, it multiplies their fears. Does it also multiply our fears? Because then we say, how does that now consist with prayer day? Guilt. Do you feel it? Come up to the house of the Lord today. Going to ask the Lord for blessings today. But are there those that come into the house of the Lord and that do say, how is that possible? That I should fold my hands, and that I should bow my knees, and that I should ask of the Lord a blessing, when He knows what my life is, when everything that is within and without that is testifying against me, how can this go along with a prayer day? Do you know what Jacob said to his mother? He says, I will bring the curse upon me, my mother, and not a blessing. Oh, that is what is felt when we do feel our guilt. That we deserve not a blessing, but we deserve only the curse of the Lord. We are verily guilty concerning our brother. Therefore, the brothers did say, is this distress come upon us? Or if we are cast all together in the prison, then we can only say one thing, and that it is our own fault. Oh, what is humbling a man more than felt guilt? And what is keeping a man away from asking for a favor? more than felt guilt? And then how silent that the Lord can be. How silent that Joseph was while that he was instructing his brothers in these most necessary lessons. Does he take guilt, take delight in that silence? Did he? Joseph wept. He wept. And he refrained himself. Was that easy for him? Oh, he had such a desire in his heart to say to his brothers, I am Joseph. But he refrained himself. The refraining that is causing pain to Joseph. But he does it. Why? Because of the importance of the lessons that these brothers need to be taught. Thus, there are those in whom hunger that is pressing, and at the same time, the law that is cursing. There are those in whom the need that is compelling, but at the same time, the conscience that is accusing. Until when? Until Zaphnath-Paneah, he is not able anymore to refrain himself. And when he is then opening the storehouses unto this hungry people. But let us sing first. 280, stanzas 3 and 4. Yea, the Lord is full of mercy and compassion for distress, slow to anger, and abundant in his grace and tenderness. And what follows, 3 and 4 of Psalter 280. Thank you. a precious promise of nourishment, first to whom, second by whom this is promised. There will I nourish thee. What does the word nourish mean? It means to sustain or to maintain, to support or to supply, thus to provide with food. He says, I will hold thee up. What more precious thing can be said to someone who cannot uphold himself, and that he will be held up by someone else? And yet, someone gives to us a promise, boys and girls, then we need also, if we will rely and look forward to the fulfillment of that promise, then we need to feel that that person, he is able to give us what he promised. That was also here with Joseph. That is why Joseph, he commands his brethren, and he says to them, now you must tell my father of all my glory that thou hast seen in Egypt. You have seen it with your own eyes, and you must bring that message to my father, and you must show to him, tell him everything that you have seen, and how that Pharaoh, he has lifted me up, he has made me, God has made me a father even unto Pharaoh, so that Jacob and all your household, they may now come down unto me. Oh, how that the Lord is giving his people in the revelation of himself to see and to feel his majesty, his greatness, and that he is able to fulfill the promise that he promises unto them. And there will I nourish thee. Joseph had the ability to nourish, to sustain, to uphold his father and all his brethren. What would he feed them from? Children. What would he feed them from? Do you know what he would feed them from? He would feed them with food that was all coming out of his humiliation, his suffering in Egypt, and his exaltation. All the plenty that was in Egypt, that was all a consequence of the humiliation and the exaltation of Joseph. Do you understand it? Because we do not speak about Joseph, but we speak about the greater Joseph. And we speak about that which is able to feed the true church of God. That is not able to sustain themselves, that is not able to uphold themselves. And all the food, that true spiritual food, that is able to sustain that church, that is all flowing out of the sufferings, of the humiliation, and of the exaltation, the resurrection of the greater Joseph. Storehouses sufficient to feed every soul that is hungry, to maintain that life, to supply in that life. Neither is there any other food that is able to be found which can support that church in the famine, to sustain her life. Long ago, already, the Lord, He has been looking after that people. He has been looking after. He has prophesied through His prophets of that humiliation and of that exaltation. And He has brought it to pass that it may be food and drink for the true church of God. Did you ever eat? Did you ever drink out of the storehouses that are flowing out of the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because what can be greater nourishment to those who do hunger and to thirst after righteousness than a satisfied justice, than a righteousness that is not their own, than a perfect obedience that is satisfactory unto the highest judge? So that Paul says there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, the Lord Jesus tells us of a man that was asking for one drop of water to cool his tongue. Oh, what one drop of that blood, how that can cool the tongue of those guilty and those perishing souls. One drop that is off of the altar of God and is placed upon that mercy seat before His throne. And there He says, I will nourish thee. With this, He says, I will sustain thee, because I will draw water out of the wells of salvation. In His thirst, they gave Him vinegar to drink and gall, a bitter cup. Why? Oh, that He may go before them, that the thirsty, they may be refreshed out of that fountain. It is a fountain, we read in God's Word, of living waters. He Himself, He has said, He that eateth the flesh of the Son of God, and who drinketh His blood, he hath life. To preserve life, Joseph said. To preserve the life of whom? Of those that have to die. To preserve the life of whom? Of those that deserve to die because of sin, because of guilt. Preserved by one who was near of kin. I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye have sold into Egypt. The same flesh, the same blood, going before to suffer and to die, that they may not have to suffer and die. He says then to every enemy, if therefore ye seek me, then let these go their way. There will I nourish thee. Or are there those here among us who are not strangers of one drop of that nourishment? One drop for the life of your soul. That is what we stand in need of. You say, maybe, how do I know? What does that then mean? Remember, that the Passover lamb that had to be eaten with bitter herbs. To this day, bitter herbs, they are advantageous for the digestive system. What do they do to the palate? Oh, they are drawing out. They are drawing out the taste and the nourishment that is to be found in that roasted Lamb of God. It was not to be sodden at all with water, but it was to be roasted. Oh, that was a portrayal of that awful suffering of that Son of Man. Faith that is taking hold of a revealed Christ in the midst of all their misery, of all their wretchedness, of all their sin, of all their guilt, in the midst of the taste of a great bitterness. The Passover lamb that is eaten by the church of God with bitter herbs. And the Lord, He is showing unto that people the authority of His word. Or He is giving them to feel something of His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, that they may see and believe that He is able to provide, and that they might feel something of the faithfulness of His promise, that they may apprehend something of the suitability of that sacrifice for their own soul. Oh, that the meek, that they may see it, and that they may eat, that they may be satisfied. He gives them to taste something of the sweetness of the love of that Lamb of God who gave Himself even unto death for that sinful people. Here, congregation, is that meat. That meat that He says endureth. That meat that endureth unto eternal life. That the Son of God, He shall give unto you. Over against that meat that perisheth. Oh, do you seek then? Do you seek then for that meat that is unto eternal life? Because to those that seek that meat, He will also give the meat that perishes. He will also give the meat that belongeth unto this life. David said, I was young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed begging bread. No, the Lord He provides for His own, because it is coming all out of the storehouses of Joseph, both the spiritual and the natural, for that true church of God. And now we hear Joseph. He is also speaking unto Pharaoh. And then Pharaoh comes to his brothers, and he says that they should go up and take chariots, bring their father all down unto Egypt, he says. And then he says what? He says, regard not your stuff. He says, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. Why is that? Does Pharaoh know who these brothers are? Say, no, he only knows who Joseph is. And it was now for the sake of Joseph that Pharaoh, he gives everything that is necessary unto the family of Joseph. Regard not your stuff. It means do not let your eyes spare it. And you will have to leave your place in the land of Canaan and come down to the land of Egypt, and all that stuff, all your household furniture, and everything that you can set your eyes on, do not let it grieve you that you have to leave everything behind you. Why? He says, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. He says, that place where you are going, that is going to provide you more and better than everything that you have there in that land of Canaan. And Joseph, your brother, he has reserved for you the best spot in the land of Goshen. It is well watered everywhere, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Oh, that is now the promise of Joseph to his guilty brothers. Who is able to fathom it? They went down hungry. They went down hungry into Egypt, and they come out of Egypt, we read, laden with all the good things of the land, and not only so, but also with the promise of Joseph, and that he will take care of them, and that he will sustain them. They went down into that land the first time. They went down in themselves as true men. And they went down the second time as guilty men. All the work, not their own work, all the uncovering work of that greater Joseph. What are now the last words of Joseph? Those brothers are departing. He has spoken much to them. They are now departing. They are going back. What are now the last words he says to them? You know, we read. He says, and see that ye fall not out by the way. See that you are not speaking anymore about what you have done, that you are not blaming one another. Oh, see that you are quiet about it. And see that you speak only about me. And about my goodness. And about all the glory that God has given unto me in that land of Egypt. See that ye fall not out by the way. As far as east from west is distant, so far has he our sins removed. And then it is his delight that when that church, they may look unto him, oh, that they may glory in him, and haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, and tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for there are yet 5 years of famine. Lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth which speaketh unto you. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou speak unto our souls, and wilt thou show to us thy great glory and what thou hast done for those who are guilty, those who have sinned against thee and who are worthy to die and not to be fed. Oh, thou dost nourish them, and thou dost promise that thou wilt sustain them through this life, even unto the end, and thou wilt bring them into that eternal glory, where they will be near unto thee forever and forever. Oh, look, Lord, upon us and our children, and our children's children. Wilt thou dismiss us with thy blessing? We may acknowledge thee for thy help. Be with us further in this night and in this week. Watch over us for good. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 51, 2 and 3. The burden of the sorrowful the Lord will not despise. He has not turned from those that mourn. He hearkens to their cries. His goodness makes me join the throng where saints his praise proclaim. And there will I fulfill my vows amid those who fear his name. 2 and 3 of Psalter 51. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.